Well, welcome back to Unto the Earth, a podcast by Ethnos 360. I'm your host, Levi Illick. In previous episodes, we've looked at the basis for missions throughout Scripture, and specifically the history of Ethnos 360 missionaries responding to the Great Commission and giving their lives to God's call to make disciples of all nations. In these conversations, we've alluded to terms like unreached people group or least reached people group. So today, we'll attempt to define what we mean by unreached and hopefully gain a realistic picture of the gospel's advancement throughout the world. Joining us today is Steve Sanford, who is serving Christ at the Wyoming campus in central Pennsylvania with Ethnos 360, and who has formerly served as a missionary in Venezuela. Steve, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Levi. My pleasure. It's great to see you again. Last time I saw you was right here on our campus, and it's good to see you through the lens here today. So thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. We're so glad to have you. So, Steve, in telling the story of Ethnos 360, as we have in previous episodes, and why we exist, just as in any conversation, it's important for us to define terms. So, Steve, would you help us unpack and understand what is an unreached people group and why is it important to define the term?
Okay, yeah. Maybe let's take that one word at a time. Let's start with the first word, unreached, and talk about unreached in reference to an individual. I would say, you know, around me here, in my central Pennsylvania context, I run into many, many unsaved people. But I do not think that I run into any unreached people here in, you know, the United States. And that's because the term unreached, whether it's referring to individuals or people groups, refers to access to the gospel. So a person here, you know, a person here may have no interest in the gospel whatsoever, or they simply may not have ever had an accurate presentation of the gospel, but that person, though they would be categorized as unsaved, they would not be categorized as unreached because they do have access to the gospel. They could enter a church, they could pick up a book in a bookstore, they could talk to a Christian, you know, someone they know who's a Christian at work. So they do have access to the gospel, though they may not have heard it. So there's a difference between unreached and unsaved. So then if we move along in our term, unreached people group, and we define what a people group is, in the missions context, this is how we would define a people group. It's an ethno-linguistic group of people with the same, a common self-identity that's shared by everybody within that people group. So in other words, it's a group of people who share the same language. They share the same ethnic identity. They are identifiable by people looking in from the outside as a unique and identifiable people group. And as it relates to the Great Commission, a people group would be the largest group of people within which the gospel could spread unhindered by language or cultural barriers. So once the gospel penetrates that people group and that language, it could spread unabated, but eventually it's going to reach everybody within that people group. And for it to go any further, now a language and culture barrier has to be crossed to go into a whole nother people group. So that's kind of the definition of a people group. So what would be an unreached people group? If we take our meaning for unreached as an individual, that would mean this is a language group, an ethno-linguistic group of people who do not have access to the gospel in the language that they understand. And in the broader missions community, it would kind of be defined more this way. Less than 2% of the members of that ethno-linguistic group of people would be people who understand and believe the gospel. So even though there may be a few believers within this language group, the understanding is there aren't enough, and there aren't enough resources for the gospel to reach the rest of that people group, because there's just so few believers in that people group. And so you also asked, why would it be important that we even define the term? And I would say, from living here now, having been on the mission field and now coming back to the U.S. for quite a while now, I find that most believers, you know, in my world today around me are unaware that there are such things, there's such a thing as an unreached people group. They understand there's many lost people around the world, many people who have not heard the gospel yet in a way they understand, but they're not aware of this reality of entire languages of people that are still unreached, not unsaved, not having heard the gospel and rejected it, but the gospel has not even reached their language. It hasn't made it as far as them, so they do not have access to it. So our common belief, you know, as I would see it here in my culture, is that there really isn't much difference between my unsaved neighbor and the animist in Africa or the Muslim in Asia. And I would argue that's not true. I would say, yes, my unsaved neighbor is just as lost, just as in need of salvation as, you know, the animist in Africa, but they are not just as unreached, because a person who has no opportunity to hear the gospel, even if they wanted to, that's an unreached person and that's an unreached people group. I remember my dad saying when I was younger, and this really resonated with me, he said, you know, it was his view that everyone should have the opportunity to hear the gospel at least once before some of us have heard it for the fourth or fifth time. And that kind of encapsulates unreached versus unsaved for me. It's about opportunity and access to the gospel, and much of the world still doesn't have that.
I love the clarity on that. I think that that helps to remove some of the cloudiness and confusion, and can also bring about conviction for us that maybe have been once upon a time in that kind of cloudiness and lack of clarity. That's really good, Steve. So there's more kind of lingo in this conversation. Can you help explain the difference between what you just described as unreached, then in comparison with unengaged, and secondly, least reached?
Okay. So my understanding is that unreached and least reached, those two terms, are basically interchangeable. Both of those are referring to an ethno-linguistic group of people who still have no access to the gospel in the language, I should say, that they understand. Less than 2% of those folks are believers, evangelical believers. And unreached is an older term. It's still used broadly, but it's older. Least reached is a new term. And my understanding is that that term was introduced kind of as a way to communicate that it's not necessarily an on-off switch, you know, unreached and now you flip the switch and a people group is reached. It's least reached communicates the idea of a spectrum. There's a spectrum of understanding or access to the gospel, and the people on that spectrum that we are categorizing as least reached are way over at the end of the spectrum, where less than 2% of their language group even understands the gospel and is a believer. So those two are together in my mind. Unengaged is a whole nother level of unreached. And honestly, this is the one that really breaks your heart, because an unengaged, unreached people group, or UUPG as it's sometimes referred to, that's an unreached people group that no one yet is even trying to reach. So there's many unreached people groups that have some effort underway. You know, some strategy is in place, some mission agency or some church is trying to learn their language, trying to engage with them somehow. So they're still unreached, but they've been engaged. In the unengaged category, yeah, absolutely nothing is being done about their status as unreached. No one is even trying to reach them. They are the furthest from gospel understanding of any people group. That would be the unengaged people groups.
Yeah, that's really helpful. So kind of bringing it closer to home, within Ethnos 360's definition, you've kind of alluded to this, but what factors would contribute to our, as a mission group, to Ethnos 360's definition of unreached people group? What specific factors do we drill into to make that definition more clear?
Yeah, I appreciate that, because I think probably every group or agency probably has a little different approach to this. And so for Ethnos 360 and our, I would say this is true of our partner organizations around the world, we would accept what I've already articulated as part of the definition of an unreached people group. This is an ethno-linguistic group of people who have little to no access to the gospel. Less than 2% of the people even understand the gospel. But we would take it one step further, and we would define a people group as yet unreached if there is a lack of opportunity within that language group for people to grow in their understanding of Christ, growing towards maturity. And the way the reason we would look at it that way is we would argue that if the context for which discipleship and growing in our knowledge of Christ and growing towards maturity, if that context does not exist within a people group, and we would identify that context as a functioning local church where believers gather, they can be taught the gospel, they can be taught, you know, they can be discipled on towards maturity, and the gospel can be sent out from that local church to the rest of the unreached people group. We would say until that context exists for discipleship, namely a local church, we would categorize that as an unreached people group. And we would say that Ethnos 360, you know, and our global partner family, we would target that people group as needing work done with them.
That's good. Yeah, and it really captures, you know, that definition there really captures the heartbeat of Ethnos 360, to see a thriving church for every people, to really penetrate into that culture, into that people. This is maybe a pretty big, broad question, but in your experience, in your studies, how many people would you say are unreached today? There's a lot of numbers out there, but from your perspective, could you put a number on the amount of unreached people in the world today?
Yeah, so like you say, there are a number of different ways that very good resources would view this. I think the one most similar to the way Ethnos 360 would view it would be a resource that is connected to the IMB, the International Mission Board. Actually, the website is peoplegroups.org, if anybody wants to go look at that. Yeah. And the reason I would say that it most closely resembles the way we would view it is they view it in terms of ethno-linguistic people groups, language groups who share the same ethnic identity. How much gospel access do they have? And so using their numbers, in fact, I was just looking this up again recently to see what their latest numbers are. They say currently there are 7,200 roughly unreached people groups left in the world. And of those 7,200 unreached people groups, roughly 3,200 of them, and I say roughly because I don't know if anybody can be super precise on this, but I think they are very much in the ballpark, because they are really quite good at gathering this kind of information. But of those 7,200 unreached people groups, 3,200 of them are in the unengaged category. And it's hard for me to say that number and like just kind of skim by it, because, you know, I hope our listeners are grasping what that number represents. They say 3,191. Let's just say 3,200, rough ballpark figure. That's 3,200 entire languages, of not villages, not towns, but whole languages of people who not only have never heard the gospel in a language they understand, they have no access to it. They can't go find it even if they want to. And then, you know, the third leg of that sort of sad picture is no one's even trying to reach them yet. They are just completely isolated from the gospel. So that to me is an incredibly sobering number. And, you know, in the age of satellite communication and iPhones and everything like that, it's hard to believe that that many unengaged people groups still exist on Earth.
Yeah. Just to help clarify, do you know the number of total people groups to give us kind of a benchmark for that 7,000 group number?
I would have to look again on their website to see exactly. I'm pretty confident to say, though, that the total number of people groups categorized by them is somewhere in the 11 to high 11,000 number range. So that means about 4,000 people groups or language groups are in the reached category in the world today, 7,000 in the unreached, and out of that 7,000, about 3,200 of those aren't even engaged yet. No one's trying to reach them.
Wow. So really to give us maybe a call to action, I'm going to ask you a question here, Steve, that I think really ties into the weight of what you're describing to us, to me and to our listeners. Say someone is kind of talking to you, talking to us about missions. They say, Steve, you know, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a professional minister or Christian. I follow Jesus. You know, I live in rural USA. Why should I really care about these numbers? What does this have to do with me?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And honestly, in my ministry here where I live, I run into people that have that question. And I think in part, I found it's because they aren't aware of a concept of an unengaged people group. Like, what is that? But even after, we're talking about now maybe a person who does understand that, and they're saying, you know, why should I care? I guess my answer to that would be, you know, if that person is a believer, if they're a member of the body of Christ, I think they should care, because the head of the body, you know, we all know who that is. Christ, just before he ascended back to the Father, he gave pretty clear instructions to the rest of his body. He said, I want you to go and make disciples of every people group. And actually, this is very related to what we're talking about here, because if we look at Matthew 28, you know, and actually go look at the words that the Lord used when he said, go and make disciples of all the nations. That word translated nations in our Bible is actually the Greek word ethnos. And an ethnos is a people group. We use the word nation in modern English to describe like a geographic, a geopolitical location, a country. But that isn't the word that Jesus used. He used the word that we would more properly translate as people group, an ethnos. And he said, I want disciples in every one of those people groups that are out there. So, like, for me, if as a member of the body of Christ, for me to say, okay, I know what the head of the body said, and I just don't care, I feel like that'd be pretty hard to defend. I feel like maybe we're missing out on the very reason that the head left the body here. The head went back, he ascended back to the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He left his body down here to carry out what he wants done. And what he said he wants done is, I want everybody to know who I am. I want everybody to know who I, or what I've done for them. I want disciples and, you know, brothers and sisters and children in every one of those people groups. So yeah, hard for me to understand how a believer with proper understanding of what's really out there could just sort of say, I don't care. I think we're all supposed to be engaged in it in some way or another. I don't personally believe that means, you know, every believer has to go and live with one of those unengaged people groups or they don't care. That's clearly not what the Bible teaches, but there's a lot of ways to be involved in this, and not caring is not one of them. I'm going to quote, I don't usually do this, but I was just at a big Christian university a couple weeks ago, and I heard a very well-known speaker, David Platt, probably most of you would know him. He said something, and I thought, wow, I don't know if I would have the courage to say that, but I think he's right. This is what he said. He said, if we believe God's word as a believer, he said, you are either a goer, a sender, or disobedient. I thought, okay, wow. That's kind of strong, but that's really true. If Jesus did say that's what we're supposed to be doing, then we probably are supposed to be doing that.
Well, that is great encouragement for us. And as we wrap up here, man, if you are pricked by this and want to learn more as listeners of how to become more engaged with the unengaged, make sure you stop by our website at www.e360bible.org, where you can find information that will give you resources and help you understand more and see how you can plug in to this great commission that God has given us. Steve, thank you so much for being a part of our show today. We really want to thank you and appreciate the wisdom that you've shared with us. So on behalf of the team here, you guys have a great day, and we'll see you next time on Unto the Earth.